And we pick up our study today in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin in verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, "It is the Lord who advanced Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt." When Israel cried out to God down in Egypt, the Lord sent two men to deliver them. God raised up Moses and Aaron, his brother, and he raised them up from small beginnings, but he turned them into deliverers. 7. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. In other words, don't talk, just listen. Stand still, says Samuel. Stand before God and don't say a thing, because I'm going to remind you of everything that God has done for you. Sometimes it's good to be quiet and go over all the good things that God has done for us. It's so easy to forget the acts of kindness we experience from God every single day. Verse 8, when Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. God rescued the Israelites from Egypt. He used Moses and Aaron, and most of the time, that's how it works. God uses people to help other people. And if you know the story, you know there really wasn't anything special about Moses and Aaron. They were just submitted to a very special God. And that's why they were successful. Nothing special about any of us. But when we submit to and are filled with the spirit of the special God, the one and only true God, and his son Jesus Christ, that's when good things happen. 9. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they, speaking of the Moabites, fought against them. The Israelites, it says here that they forgot God. Doesn't mean that they forgot that God was there and therefore forgot to worship him. No, they chose not to worship him, and as a result, forgot that he was there. And when they forgot to worship God, they were soon conquered by their enemies. The first step in a moral slide is to forget to worship God, forget to pray to him. 10. And they cried unto the Lord and said, "We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you." Some people cry when they get into trouble, and that's understandable. But smart people cry out to God when they get into trouble. They confess their sins, they pray for help, they look to God. And that's how God wants to use trouble. 11. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan, and that would be Barak, and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. People need to feel safe, or they won't feel like they can do anything. And yes, even Christians. And God wants that for his people. And you only get it by calling out to God, by having a close relationship. Then you feel at peace, you feel safe and secure, regardless of your circumstances. Israel regained their security after they repented and got right with God. Then they felt safe. And you can't feel safe, I can't feel safe, unless we're right with God. 12. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, No, but a king shall reign over us. When the Lord your God was your king. Now, the Israelites have changed. Now, when they saw danger, they wanted something else to help them, someone else to help them, not God. God was no longer good enough for them. They already had a king, but they wanted one that they could see. You know, it's okay to help, to accept the help of people, but it's important to trust God more than you trust people. 13. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen. And notice it was their choice and not God's. And that's talking about Saul. And whom you have desired. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. God gave them what they demanded. 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king who reigns over you continue following the Lord your God. We hear people say, we must follow the leading of the Lord. And sometimes I have no idea what people mean by that. And so, you may be wondering, well, what in the world does that mean? How do we do that? How do we follow the leading of the Lord? Well, God tells us right here. Fear him, listen to him, serve him, do not rebel against him. Doing those things automatically puts us in the moral will of God. Being in the moral will of God opens the door for us to make specific choices within those boundaries, you see, it's very simple. Not complicated at all. Fear God, listen to God, serve God, don't rebel against God. And of course, this presupposes that you are in the Word of God, so you know how to define serving God and listening to Him. 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, if you rebel against his law, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Israel didn't want God to be their king, but he is still their judge, and he is still their Lord. People may walk away from the lordship of God today, but if they do, they are kidding themselves. You can walk away from the lordship of God in the sense of not submitting to him. But you can't escape the justice of God. And so Israel can rebel. But they will pay for it if they do. 16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? It usually occurred in the first part of June. I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, which almost never happened at that time of the year, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. It really never stormed during wheat harvest, but it will this time, proving that it is a sign from God. Now, when things happen that make you think about God, do not dismiss those things as being coincidences. God is in control, and he could have stopped those things from happening and therefore could have stopped you from thinking about him, but he didn't. 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. The Israelites thought that they could do better than God and Samuel if they had a tall, nice-looking king. Well, that was foolish reasoning, and God just proved it. Samuel was a guy who could ask God to bring a storm during the off-season, and God would listen. Their new king will not have that kind of influence with God because he's not a man of God like Samuel. It's better to go with someone who is good rather than someone who only looks good. 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for your servants unto the Lord your God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. Samuel wasn't good enough to lead them, but I guess he's still good enough to pray for them now that they are scared out of their wits. Some want nothing to do with God's people, but when they get in trouble, they ask God's people to pray, and that's okay. We should be there for them during those times. 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. The unusual storm was not intended to drive them away from God, but to drive them to God. They sinned, and as always, God doesn't want anyone to walk away from him when they are feeling guilty because of their sin. God wants us to confess to him and start over again. 21. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Whenever people turn away from God, it is always to chase after something else, and that something else will always be vain. It's not going to satisfy. 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people, for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. If God had chosen Israel because they were wonderful, then I suppose they should be afraid that he would cast them aside now that they have sinned. But he chose them because he is nice, and he will keep them because he is nice, and to protect his reputation as a nice God who forgives those who confess. Didn't have anything to do with their worthiness, because they were not. 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Some of the people, most of the people, rejected Samuel, but he was still willing to pray for them and teach them the word of God. Verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. God gives us rules, and he says, there, do it or else. Punishment is a deterrent. But more than anything, God wants us to think of all the good that he has done for us and then respond to that goodness of his with holiness. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. 25, but if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. God, one thing God does not tolerate is impenitent wickedness, even in his own people.